Hi, everyone. I'm Tom Bloomer.
And I'm Kelly Bloomer.
And we are your hosts for OK Boomer, Teach Me Sales. So how's your day going, Kelly?
Guess what I did today?
What'd you do?
I pumped my own gas again.
I'm very proud of you, Kelly.
Thank you. It's a very scary thing.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if most of our listeners have ever worried about pumping their own gas. I think they pretty much do it every day.
I'm sure they do, but when you're a Jersey girl, it doesn't happen that way.
So in New Jersey, you're not allowed to pump your own gas,
you're
right?
Not allowed.
Okay. And you were born and raised.
Uh-huh.
So you never had to pump your own gas.
Didn't have to figure that out till we got here.
And then when you got old enough to want to travel a little bit, you decided to get married so you wouldn't have to pump out of state then.
And even when we lived out of state, it was, Tom, go get me gas.
So you pumped your own gas today.
I did.
Fantastic. You know, our guest today is a Jersey guy.
Oh, nice.
Radio sales for over 40 years. He speaks Jersey every day.
Jersey tomatoes coming our way?
You know what? We should ask him.
Mm.
Yeah. In fact, any of our listeners in New Jersey, it's not the season right now, but if you want to get on Kelly's good side, you can always mail us some Jersey tomatoes.
Yes.
What else, Kel?
The kids would love some Wawa.
Some Wawa? Yeah. Got to have some Wawa.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. That would be great. You know, Barry and I talked a little bit about Jersey diners.
Oh, they're the best. Yeah.
That was always good too.
Nice comfort food.
Absolutely. So tomatoes, Wawa, a good diner. Yeah. Anything else you miss from Jersey?
That's probably about it.
That's about it for me too. We look forward to our new guest today.
Yes.
Hey, it's Larry Long Jr. from Durham, North Carolina. Okay, Boomer, teach me sales.
All right. Well, we are here with Barry Cohen today. Barry, I want to talk with our listeners of what you do and what you've done, but it's very few people I talk to that have 40 years of advertising, sales, working with small business owners, working in PR. I don't know that we have enough time, but can you kind of walk us through how did this start, I guess, from all the way back to the old radio days?
In 1979, I started doing what we call Dollar a Holler Radio, and it was very much like yourself out on the street, pounding the pavement, talking to local independent retailers, learning the trade, honing my craft. I had never actually sold anything before. In fact, I shied away from sales every time a sales job was offered to me before that. But I saw that as my opportunity and my entree to get into the media business. So I took the chance. It was a small station that was in a turnaround mode. And, you know, what I learned along the way, of course, was everything about, you know, what people really care about, what they want, what they need. And, you know, I went on from there and I worked for a couple of larger stations, suburban stations, and then eventually for two big metropolitan New York stations, and actually had the opportunity to manage a small station, which was great because having started at a distressed property, I was able to go in and do a turnaround on an even more distressed property. So after all those years in radio...
You like challenges.
Yeah, exactly. You know, after all those years in radio, one of my clients was starting a fledgling ad agency, believe it or not, in his mother's basement. And he was a musician who gravitated into producing jingles and then teamed up with an old friend of his. And we were turning this into a full-blown advertising agency. So I worked with them and, you know, kind of learned that side of the business. And then, you know, along the way, had also been doing publicity and PR for people. And as time went on, you know, one of my old radio buddies approached me and said, hey, he said, you know, he says, I'm tired of this. He says, what do you think about starting a business together? And I said, yeah, sure. Because I'd gotten tired of the grind, if you will. And we started AdLab 22 years ago. And we started off as an audio production house, and we added video, and then we added focus groups, and we added media buying, and we added PR. And eventually, once I had become an author, we added publishing services as well. So all of that said, all I was doing was really repurposing those same skill sets into different venues.
Very good. And is radio still a key part, or was it in the beginning an important part of what you did for a lot of those clients?
It was for a lot of years. When we started off, the vast majority of our billings were actually in radio placements and then TV placements as well, media. And of course, doing the commercial production and the copywriting for that as well. But in recent years, the publishing has taken on the greatest part of what we're doing.
Now, and so can you tell our listeners a little bit more about what the publishing is? Because I've just learned in the past couple of months, it's not what I thought it was. So
right.
Kind of describe what
the publishing is. Tom, the very definition of publishing has changed today. Today, publishing is everything from a book to an ebook to an audiobook to a podcast to you name it, a blog post. It's all about, putting out valuable, meaningful, educational, informational content that can be repurposed on different channels, different formats, because everybody's consuming their content in different ways. So like I said, the very definition of publishing has broadened these days.
Absolutely. And I think I saw on somewhere on one of your sites, you talk about thought leadership and how the publishing really helps to grow that. I got to assume nowadays that branding that you help people through publishing has got to be crucial for a lot of their businesses.
It is. We work with entrepreneurs, we work with professionals, we work with coaches, speakers, trainers, we work with educators, and all of those people are people who are looking to break through to the next level. They want to get to a higher level of prominence. They want to become recognized in their field as the leader. And again, all that publishing does is to elevate their stature because, number one, they're perceived as the expert because they're published, but two, it's also expanding their digital footprint, which is critical today. In other words, they become more discoverable and more discoverable in a positive way, because if you go and you do a Google search on them, you're going to find all this content about them. The thing that people need to understand is today, it's not about your website. It's about your overall online presence. So what do I mean by that? The goal is to have more content about you in more places around the web that will link back to you.
All right, so Barry, you were in the radio business back in the heyday, right? Back in the good old days. I remember when I first got in direct mail; those were great days to be in. Almost any advertising media was very great place to be. The agency, publishing, is it all the same? Is it really the same business with just a new approach?
Essentially it is. If you think about it, what business are we all in? We're all in the business of relationships. And if we're not in that business, then we're not in business. So I'll cite, for example, Harvey McKay, right, who wrote Swim with the Sharks Without Getting Eaten Alive. Mm-hmm. What McKay told everybody to do was to learn everything possible about their clients and their prospects. In those days it was a card file, but regardless, whether it's on your phone, notepad, whatever, you want to know as many things as possible.
Did you just take us back to the Rolodex, Barry?
Yeah.
Ancient technology. I used to write all these little notes, right? We'd fill up the whole little card there.
Yeah, I actually have one. So, Harvey's idea was that everybody should know everything possible about their clients so that you're able to really engage with them on a personal level, that you get to know them, they get to know you, to the point where, you acknowledge their birthday, their anniversary, everything that's important to them. And it's for real, I had one client that we've been guests in one another's homes. We got so close that our dogs knew each other.
I think sales sometimes gets a bad name because people don't realize that you're really good sellers. Those that have been doing it for a while, it's all about relationships. That's what they're trying to build. But I don't know that most people realize that.
Right. And again, it's what kind of a relationship. I cite Paul J. Meyer, who started Leadership Management International out of Waco, Texas, whose quote will always stay with me. He said, develop a servant's heart, right? And that's what you're there for. You're there to serve. And if you're not, then you're not going to stay in business, certainly not going to stay in sales.
No, Absolutely. You might be in it a little bit. I know I hired a number of salespeople over the years, and we were looking for those that could build relationships. There's a lot of closers out there, and they go from company to company because they don't build those long-term relationships.
Well, again, I'll go back to my experience with the radio business. I write for the radio trade magazines, and one of the points, you know, that I keep hammering and the things that I've said at speaking engagements at their conferences is, you know, it's all about building, you know, an ongoing relationship with a client. It's not about a one-off. And if you do engage in, you know, churn and burn, as I call it, you'll never build. But if in fact you really develop real relationships with clients where they trust you, and that's the key word is trust, they're going to keep coming back to you, and you're going to build, you know, real solid business for yourself. If you're not, then it's, you know, you're just starting over, you're chasing your tail.
Absolutely. Especially in a pandemic and in any type of economic, and you've probably been through several, you know, over the past 40 years, different roller coaster rides.
Yes.
It's through times like this where you really see the people who are building those relationships.
So true. Absolutely. And those are the people that last. They're the ones that stay in business, that are still in business 30 or 40 years. You know, I go back to Zig Ziglar, the world's greatest sales trainer. What did he say? He said, you get what you want by helping other people get what they want. You know, I'll put it this way. This is what I always write in my columns. Your job is not to sell your stuff. Your job is to help your clients sell their stuff. And once you make that paradigm shift and you realize that everything you do is about helping them do what they do, then your business will really take off. Right. So, I mean, I can give you examples if you like.
Yeah, please. Because I've seen where you've written that, and I love it. I'm not sure everybody's going to get it at first here. So can you kind of dig a little bit
deeper? Sure.
Sure.
Well, you know, I think you've read my book, 10 Ways to Screw Up an Ad Campaign. So we'll take, there you go.
Truth be told, I have a few more pages to go, but it's almost done. I'm loving it. For an ad guy like me, this is like fun reading. So I'm loving it.
Great. So there's a story in there, a true story, about a 6-unit restaurant chain here in New Jersey. All right. At the time, none of the major franchises had moved into their territory. They were successful no matter what. They didn't need to advertise. And then when the big chains started to move in, you know, TGI Fridays, whatever, started to move into their territory and they felt the bite, then they said to me, you've been knocking on our door. What do you have in mind? All right. So I thought about it and I said, okay, how can I really leverage what I have, my product, to make their product successful? Because they had a great product, this nice casual themed restaurant. So at the time I was working for a rock station, and it turns out that they were broadcasting live from the Springsteen concert at the Meadowlands Arena. And I said, you know what? I want to tie you into that concert. And they said, well, how do we do that? I said, here's what we're going to do. I want you to offer one absolutely free entree to every person that comes in with a ticket stub from that concert. Now they got it. They absolutely, you know, locked right into this, and they realized what was in it for them. What was in it for them was that those people are going to come back. Those people are going to buy more than just an entree. They're going to get a dessert. They're going to get a drink. They're going to bring other people with them who had never been to that concert, and they're going to make their money over, you know, 10 times over tenfold. And in fact, it blew the doors off. We had 856 documented responses with only 1 week of advertising on one radio station. Now, the kicker is, how many other people went on the same station the same week, spent the same money, and didn't get 1/10 of that response? So again, it was all about figuring out what were their needs and how could I sell their product best for them.
So Barry, I want to dig a little bit deeper there, because to me that's such an important concept. I guarantee you there are some listeners right now who are talking to clients, trying to show them the value that you just showed that business owner got, and some of their clients just don't understand what they have to do to draw in that business and how it's going to pay for itself. And any ideas? How do you get that across to some businesses?
Right. Well, you know, you have to tell them about, they're in it just like you're in it for the long haul. They need to understand about creating the lifetime value of a customer. If they buy any advertising from anyone, right, and they're looking for just what the immediate payback was, they're shortchanging both themselves and the media, right? Take an example. You know, somebody is advertising on television with a nutritional supplement that's going to, you know, help you lose weight, okay? If all they look at is the number of people that responded each time that ad ran, they're shortchanging themselves. Right, the smart ones are the ones that have put together an auto ship program and that are looking at the lifetime value of each customer, because they know that, you know, X percent of those people that bought the product and had a high satisfaction rate are going to keep coming back. And then they're going to make their money back 10 times over. So that's what it's about, is really understanding the lifetime value of a customer.
Absolutely. And I think if a sales rep understands that, and they just try to illustrate it. I always love to tell stories. And, you know, my wife and I, we moved to Apex, North Carolina, it's maybe a year and a half ago. And we have one or two restaurants that we're there almost every week. So think about the value. I don't even remember how we chose that restaurant or they got us, but whatever. They could have given us an entire month for free, and it's more than paid for itself. Because, you know, most people are like their habits, right? I mean, how often they don't change, right?
Right. Well, you bring up the story that I can't help but tell. Good. There was an article called Positively Outrageous Service in a magazine. And it told the story of a restaurateur that one night got up in the middle of his crowded restaurant and said, "Excuse me, everybody, I'm the owner here. May I have your attention for a moment?" He said, "I'm going to give one person in this room tonight, I'm going to pick up their check. One absolutely free meal." Well, what do you think happened? After that, the word of mouth on it was so strong, right? People kept coming back, hoping that he was going to do it again. And in fact, he made a habit of doing it once a month, but nobody knew when he was going to do it. So they all just kept coming back to his restaurant, kept patronizing him on the hopes that they'd be there the night that he would, you know, draw the winner and that they would be the winner. Well, if you think about what it cost him, it only cost them 3% one night out of 30.
Yeah. And I'm assuming that even the people who didn't win, they still got a kick out of that they were there and they, you know, it's, you saw it, you were part of it. So,
and they kept coming back. Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah. That word of mouth, I mean, you and I have both been in advertising forever. People pay to get their message across. But there are a lot of ways that they can do that without spending much money, just through that word of mouth and what they're creating, that buzz. You know, it's,
right.
It's phenomenal.
True. Absolutely.
So let's go back to your Zig Ziglar quote.
Sure.
You're helping others get what they want, and then ultimately it's going to help you to get what you want, right?
Right.
You're showing them how to sell their stuff. For a listener right now, for a lot of them, I think that's a little bit of a difference, because we know our features of our product. We know the benefits of our product. When we finally get a couple minutes, which, let's be honest, I think you and I are both very happy that we're not out there every day trying to get 10 minutes with a business owner, because there's a lot, it's a lot harder today than it was 20 or 30 years ago to get people's time. A lot of business owners aren't even there anymore. You know, they're hard.
Right.
To get. They finally get in front of them. I don't know that they're taking their time to try to sell their stuff. They're trying to show all of their stuff. How do they make that transition? How would you show a seller today to make that transition?
You know what? No matter what you're selling, you need to understand the client's needs, wants, and aspirations. Right? You need to be able to get them to open up and tell you what is on their mind, what's important to them. Right? And when you do that, right? You know, you have to take it even one step further than that. It's not only about what they need, especially if you're selling B2B, business to business, okay? Mm-hmm. You need to understand what the client needs, and you also need to understand what their customers need. So we'll take another example out of the book, okay? And I think you may have seen this story. So we create an ad campaign for a swimming pool dealer, okay? So instead of having them compete with all the other pool dealers, right, we positioned his product against a travel agency. And the commercial was about the person who had the swimming pool, and their brother-in-law only had snapshots from last year's vacation. And for the next 10 years, they're still swimming, splashing around, paddling around in their pool. It's a vacation that lasts a lifetime. So when you can get into somebody's head and understand not only what they need, but what their customer needs, then you can get them to buy into what you're selling.
Yeah, absolutely. I got to tell you, when I read that chapter in your book, in my mind, I was like, there's the person that created or invented the staycation, right? That's kind of where it started. I love that.
Right. You know, it's also about helping them align, you know, how and what they sell to what their customers want. Right. And again, you can only do that by probing. And if you take the time to do this, that's when people open up and give you the time, because they don't feel like they're being sold. If your intention is to find out what they need, they're going to tell you what they need, right? If your intention is to sell your stuff, they're going to shut down. They're going to turn off, right? But if you can find out what it is that they need and what their customers need and help them align that. And again, I'll give you an example. It's a pretty off-the-wall example. But on the ad agency side, we were actually doing focus groups for a client who owns 6 cemetery properties, of all things, right? Okay. We can make all the jokes we want about it, you know.
It's all been done, right?
That's it. Exactly. We know what they are. Yeah. But the reality is they didn't really know what their customers wanted. So they were coming up with discount programs, and they were coming up with free burial spaces for veterans, families, and whatever. And when we got to the focus groups and we got the people to open up, in other words, their prospective customers, we found out what was on their minds. And what was on their minds was they wanted to be sure that that burial space is not going to be overlooking the dump, that it's going to be a safe, secure, quiet, friendly place. And once we understood what they wanted and what their customers wanted, then we were able to come up with programming that would appeal to those people.
Boy, that to me, that's so impactful, because if you could be spending a lot of money, a lot of time, if you're not addressing what your target audience really cares about, then I imagine that's a good way to screw up an ad campaign.
Right. And that's exactly what the premise of the book was. The premise of the book was to help small business owners not misspend all their money. Right. To really understand, you know, let's cut through this process and you know, let's make things more efficient, more effective for you. You know, let's put it this way. Bottom line, you want to become a marketing resource first and a salesperson second. Okay. No matter what product, again, you're selling, I don't care if it's, you know, photocopy machines. If you understand what they want, what they need, and also who's going to use it and how, right? You have to agree to have make a total commitment to results, okay? That you are totally committed to getting the result for them.
All right, so Barry, you're talking about being a marketing resource first. And to me in 2020, that's kind of the catchphrase. Everybody talks about building value, showing value up front. I think the way you do that has changed a lot over the last 30 or 40 years. I think it was a lot tougher back in the day to be that kind of resource. Now there's so many ways that we can do that. Do you have a couple top ways that you would recommend to somebody to be that resource?
Well, you know, what's become easier about it is that research is more available to us, right? And in some ways it's changed, in other ways it's not. But, you know, basically what I would recommend is you go into the prospect knowing as much as you can about their industry and their business, but never pretending to know more than they know, right? But by going in and speaking their language, it makes all the difference in the world. You know, if you're hung up on the jargon of your business, right, they don't speak your language. You might as well be speaking a foreign language. But if you can understand a little bit about their industry, and if you have to call other people in their industry or their trade association to find out, do that, you know, but check whatever sources you can, read their trade publications, learn just enough to be able to go in there and understand what they're talking about when you get them to open up.
Absolutely. And you know, I like the way you said that, because I think so many, I've worked with sales reps that miss the point when they do get some of this information, they think they have to be the know-it-all. And they go in and they don't give the business owner an opportunity to talk, engage, and learn from them and get them to say things. And even when you have it, doesn't mean you're just going to go in there and just start spouting it, right? You're going to use
exactly. Right. But, you know, in the simplest terms, you know, think of it this way. You know, again, you and I both came out of the advertising sales world. So you go in there and you've got to have some understanding of what their cost structure is before you can try to sell them an advertising campaign. You have to understand, well, you know, what is the cost of the goods that they're purchasing? What is the cost of their warehousing? What is the cost of their, you know, their payroll and personnel and their overhead? You know, just in terms of vague numbers and percentages, at least, because it's not as simple as, well, you know, they're selling that $2,000 couch and it has a 50% markup, so they're going to walk away with $1,000. By the time you apply all their expenses against it, it's probably more like $200 they're going to walk away with.
Yeah. And it really, somebody listening to that say, you know, how am I going to learn all this? How am I going to know everything? But I know in my business, there was roughly about 40 types of businesses that I needed to really know and understand and talk their language and know, like you said, their margins, their what's critical to them. Everybody has that. They just have to identify who are my target audience and then what do I need to learn? And there's plenty of ways for them to go and learn that information.
True. Absolutely.
All right. So let's say we're doing our job correctly. We're building these relationships, and that's what you're talking about. That's the business we're in, is building those relationships. What kind of impact can it have? You know, where does it take us with those clients we're working with?
Well, you know, it can make all the difference between them staying in business and not staying in business. So again, you know, let's take some real world examples. So there was a local advertiser in Morristown, New Jersey, that had discount clothing for men and women, both these things that they would buy, you know, odd lots of or whatever. And it happens that the town, everything happens around the square. It's called the green, right? And if you're not on the green, you're not in the action zone. And these folks were one block away from the green, but they were downhill and they were out of the line of sight. So what we did, no matter what advertising they were doing, it wasn't pulling enough people. We stationed somebody dressed up as a mime on the green with a big sign pointing down to them, you know, and that made all the difference in the world of whether they were going to stay in business or not, right? So another example, there was a jewelry store, right? And they had the wrong hours, right? They were open, like, they, you know, they were on the, let's see, it was the westbound travel lane, but all the traffic in the morning went eastbound. Right. Well, nobody's going to buy jewelry on the way to work. So they had to change their hours. They had to change it from 9 to 5 to noon to 9 instead. It made all the difference in whether they were going to get people in the door or not, because they're only passing by their door on the way home, not on the way to work. Right. So simple little things. You know, another important thing is that you've got to be cognizant of how you can help them really outperform their competitors. And another story from the book, if I may, right? There was a waterbed store. Gentleman had 3 stores, and it was an extremely competitive business at the time. They were just popping up all over. He was pretty well established, but again, others started cutting into his margins. He had relied on the same kind of bait and switch tactics for years, where he'd run a newspaper ad with a low price and then try to upsell you when you came in. Mm-hmm. Well, that didn't work after a while. That just, you know, consumers became more savvy and, you know, wise to that. So again, it was like, okay, you know, smart aleck, okay, what do you have in mind? You've been knocking on my door all this time. So what we did was, you know, again, leveraging our assets to help him with his assets. We came up with the Break the Bid Contest, right? Where we...
Break the bed contest.
Because you see, the big
is
it, myth.
Now this is a family-oriented show. You're sure we can finish the story here?
Yes, we can. I promise. So, you know, the myth with this industry was first-time waterbed buyers were afraid the, you know, the bed's going to leak and it's going to flood their apartment or their house, right? And I saw a poster in his store. And I said, you know, is that true? He said, no. He says, but people believe it's true, right? So I said, well, let's overcome that with a dramatic demonstration. He says, what do you mean? We put a bed out in the parking lot. Now, this is on one of the busiest highways in America, Route 22 eastbound Union, New Jersey. And we did it in afternoon rush hour. And we placed a traffic reporter and a DJ out there, jumping up and down on the bed, broadcasting live, challenging people to come in. And if they could break that bed by jumping on it, they would win a $500 gift certificate to the store. Well, first of all, we had traffic backed up for miles. But second of all, we had a line of people wrapped around the store. And when the little 5 foot two gal at the back of the line sees the big goomer jumping all over the bed, not breaking it, she's like, I'm convinced if he can't break it, I'm not going to break it. Yeah. So, you know, not only did we cause a sensation, but we sold some beds.
Fantastic. And what I'm also hearing then is you mentioned you're always knocking on the door. He finally says, all right, what idea do you have for me? You better be ready. Right? Because that's what it's all about. You're knocking on that door. You never know when they're going to look at you and say, all right, smarty, what's your idea?
Right. And you better have ideas. Ideas are what sell.
Yeah. All right. I've got, you got time? I got one or two more things real quick.
Sure. Go ahead.
All right. So first, I am ecstatic. I don't know. I'm maybe 7 or 8 episodes in and taping. I live and die with Zig Ziglar, have for 40 years. It's the first time he came up in one of the podcasts. Any other famous Zig Ziglar quotes, or do you want me to share you one of mine?
Go ahead, share me one of yours. Okay, Boomer, teach me sales.
Ah, fantastic. Ed, you know what? You might be my first sponsor, Barry. I like the way you did that. People say motivation doesn't last, right? Kind of the essence of our podcast. Motivation may not last, but neither does bathing, Zig Ziglar said. That's why we recommend it every day. So people have to find ways to stay motivated.
Yeah, that's true. But you know what? It's got to come from you. It can't come from outside. You know, a sales manager can try to motivate you. But if you're not motivated, then you don't belong in the business, to be honest with you. You don't belong in selling if you're not motivated. You should be motivated every day. You know, I would want to close out with this, though, Tom. You know, we talked about having an impact on a client's business. Well, what about the impact on their lives? You have to think really, again, you know, what business are you really in? You're in the business of relationships. If you're in the business of relationships, you're in the business of people, helping people, serving people. Like I mentioned, Paul J. Meyer said, you know, be a servant. So think about the personal impact, not only the business impact that you can have on a client, right? Ultimately, if you do your job well, you're helping them pay their mortgage. You're helping them pay their kids' tuition, right? You're helping them pay for that next vacation, for that next car, for that home, for the, you know, that vacation home, for that boat they want. And that's really what it's all about. What could be more satisfying than knowing that you made a real impact on somebody's life and maybe on their family's life as well?
Yep. And that, to me, that's where the motivation comes from. You know, your good ones, that's going to get them excited and they want to do it for somebody else.
It's been a pleasure, Tom.
Absolutely, Barry. It was great spending time with you. And maybe we'll have you back on in a few months. We didn't get to talk Jersey diners, so next time we'll talk some favorite Jersey diners.
Okay, we'll do.
So, Barry, this has been a lot of fun, as all our calls do. If I set up 10 minutes with you, it seems like we talk 30. If I set up an hour, we're going for two. It's always a lot of fun. For our listeners that want to hear more and engage with you moving on, where can they find you? How do they reach you?
Okay, well, first they should check our two websites. One is adlabcreative.com, and the other one is publishingmentors.com, right? And phone is 973 area code 580-3534. I'll give it to you again. Area code 973-580-3534. 3534. We are on Eastern time for those that are not. And really the best thing to do is check the sites. And by all means, you know, check me out on LinkedIn as well.
Excellent. Thank you. So that's it. That's today's show. Okay, Boomer, teach me sales.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode. Be sure to subscribe and follow. We hope you make us a part of your week, and don't forget to share with your friends and coworkers.
Should we mention the website?
Sure. The website, okboomerteachmesales.com.
And where can they engage with us?
LinkedIn at Thomas J. Bloomer.
We hope to see you there.